people that are saying Christ is king are radical. No, we're just not controlled by the Zionist lobby, and we're not going to stop saying Christ is king. So anybody that's not controlled by Zionists are now being called radicals, and now they've moved on to pretending that we're funded by Qatar. And so you always know the marker of who's actually not beholden to them, because it's who is being attacked the hardest.
So recently, Candace Owens had a podcast about the power and influence of the Israel lobby in the United States, as well as the ADL and the tactics they use, which now can be seen from miles away. And also she gets into things that Trump said about the Israeli government that raised some eyebrows and questions. So that's what she's going to be talking about at first. So let's watch and let's react. Please like the video and subscribe to the channel.
He seems to also, and I think this was to send a message to Bibi, be reversing course on his earlier message that he would support a regime change in Iran. Here's what he said when asked today about a regime change in Iran.
Do you want to see regime change in Iran?
No. If there was, there was. But no, I don't want it. I'd like to see everything calm down as quickly as possible. Regime change takes chaos. And ideally, yeah, we don't want to see so much chaos. So we'll see how it does. You know, the Iranians are very good traders, very good business people, and they got a lot of oil. They should be fine. They should be able to rebuild and do a good job. They're never going to have nuclear. But other than that, they should do a great job.
Well, I'm glad he says that in one way, but then he says they're never going to have nuclear. Well, what does that mean? Enrichment or weapons? We know they didn't have weapons. That's what Tulsi Gabbard said 6 weeks ago, and then they said weeks away all of a sudden in the day before the U.S. bombing strikes. So this is going to come back up again. People are going to clamor for war. Netanyahu is, Likud is, all the neocons are. There's going to be breaking news. Iran, despite the fact that my administration is calling this a stunning success, mission accomplished, actually did get the uranium out, which does seem to be the case according to satellite imagery. So I'm glad there's not regime change, but dang, we sure flirted with it there, didn't we?
He's even like complimenting Iran here, and I think that's because he knows that Bibi's going to see it, and he's upset, he's angry, and he should be angry because Bibi Netanyahu does not respect anyone. He's never respected anyone, and I want to be clear, this has been the consistent messaging from Zionists since truly the first Zionist lobby. I mean, this is just, they don't listen and they openly say psychopathic things in their government. I'm talking about the Israel government, their commentary that they have made about the Palestinian genocide. They don't care because, like I said, there's no consequences for anything. You can be defended and have people falling over themselves to defend you.
Yeah, you can be a war criminal that is committing genocide in Gaza, and the U.S. president is going to support you and catch your back no matter what. And that's what Trump's doing. People say that he's upset at Netanyahu. Well, that doesn't bear out in terms of policy. We got into this war for Israel's sake. We give Israel $20 billion a year now since October 7th for Israel's sake. We get involved in all the regime change wars that they want to get us involved in. And don't, trust me, there's complicity on the U.S. side by supervillains as well, but there's no real evidence that he wants to send a message to Netanyahu. And Candace is totally right about this, by the way. But on that part, that's a little bit, you know, not supported by the facts. He would just have to threaten to withdraw aid from Netanyahu if he wanted to send a signal. He's not going to do that.
When you are committing murderous crimes, what is your incentive to stop? It's got to be a high for you to murder people at a certain point. This is what happens when you reward a terrorist state. And they've been open in the past, even in their publications. Like, you, a lot of history is intentionally getting buried. And I really encourage people to go back and learn about the initial Zionist lobby. I mean, take it all the way back to just before the turn of the 20th century to learn who has been pushing these objectives on behalf of Zionists who one day woke up and decided as a political movement that they needed a state. And Theodore Herzl was not religious, which makes it even more hilarious that people think it's their biblical duty to defend the modern state of Israel. When the modern state of Israel was being established, they weren't making any biblical arguments.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And if I was to recommend one single resource on this, the early Zionist movement, the formation of Israel, etc., it's Martyr Maid's podcast called Fear and Loathing and the New Jerusalem. It's a fantastic podcast. Can't recommend it more. Daryl Cooper is Martyr Maid, and that's really good, and it gets all into this.
And I wanted to just even show you guys this, because imagine who you have to be to have no fear as a publisher. And this is back from 2012. This person who is a Zionist and who was the publisher of the Jewish Times to openly write that if we don't get what we want, we'll murder a president. This is real. Okay. This is real. This was published. And you have this guy, and I gotta get his name here.
This is like in the first Trump administration. I remember when this came up, I think.
So could you just back up first to the wider shot? What's his name here? Is it Andrew Adler? Andrew Adler, who is literally the publisher of the Jewish Times in Atlanta. And he just writes like, hey, what are we going to do if Barack Obama doesn't give us what we want? And he gives three things that you could they could do, and says three, we could give the go ahead for the U.S.-based Mossad agents. Excuse me. Why do we have U.S.-based Mossad? Okay. U.S.-based Mossad agents to take out a president that is deemed unfriendly to Israel in order for the current vice president to take his place and forcefully dictate that the United States policy includes its helping the Jewish state obliterate its enemies.
As if it hasn't helped it do that for, you know, my entire lifetime and beyond that. And if this was during the Obama administration, understood. I thought it was during the Trump administration.
It's funny that. It's crazy, but that actually happened once, that there was a president who was not friendly to Israel and its incentives. And then he got kind of taken out. And then the person under him was unbelievably friendly to the Israeli state.
Yeah, she's talking about JFK. JFK not only tried to stop Israel from acquiring nuclear weapons, he was worried about a nuclear Middle East and the escalations that could come from that, which, by the way, we're kind of seeing to bear out right now in this whole Iran deal. But he also wanted the AZS, which was the precursor to AIPAC, to register as a foreign lobby. And yeah, he was taken out just months after that. Imagine that. What a stunning coincidence.
His name was Lyndon Baines Johnson. Anyways, back to the article. I digress. It goes on and says, yes, you read number three correctly. Order a hit on a president in order to preserve Israel's existence. Think about it. If I have thought of this Tom Clancy type scenario, don't you think that this almost unfathomable idea has been discussed in Israel's most inner circles? Another way of...
Yes. Yes, I do think that. I really do think that.
Putting three into perspective goes something like this. How far would you go to save a nation comprised of 7 million lives, Jews, Christians, and Arabs alike? You have got to believe, like I do, that all options are on the table. With this in mind, pull that back up. It closes. With this in mind, I again ask you, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, what would you do? Like openly calling for him to assassinate a president if he doesn't do what he wants. Like that is kind of, I think, carefully paints why there is so much fear when it comes to Israel in the political world and in the social world. People don't want to stand up and say anything because they're not playing around. They will ruin your effing life, okay? I lived this last year. Oh, I maybe think Israel is doing something wrong. We're coming for your job. We're coming for your finances. We're coming for that tour in Australia. You won't be able to move, Candace.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, you're an automatic anti-Semite in the eyes of people, even if you're Jewish. They did this to Norm Finkelstein and Glenn Greenwald and Dave Smith and Aaron Matei and Max Blumenthal, all Jews that are critics of Israel for good reason. And they don't care. They don't care what you are. They're just going to still try to ruin your life anyway. The narrative matters more than the truth. And we're seeing that played out right now.
You can't even go to Australia because we're running it. Yeah, that was the Zionist lobby of Australia that did that. Because, oh my God, the horror. You can't have a platform anymore if you stand against us. So yeah, guys, this is kind of been a running theme. And by the way, that publisher, you'll be pleased to know the Secret Service looked into him, but obviously nothing happened because you can just kind of publish these things, not expect there to be any consequences when you make a laced threat on a president's life. And you've kind of maybe done that before. Right now, Marjorie Taylor Greene, by the way, is catching heat because she just tweeted, Skylar, I think you could pull this up live, but like she just tweeted that Israel killed JFK. And they're like, oh, she's gone insane. No, that didn't happen. That, I mean, he was fighting with Israel's prime minister and he wanted AIPAC to register. under the FARA Act
as
a foreign agency, so we could see what money they're moving into the United States for influence. And then, but it was just convenient for Israel that JFK got shot. It was just convenient, you guys. Totally convenient.
And Marjorie Taylor Greene has been fantastic on this Iran issue and non-interventionism in general. For a Republican, she's been truly fantastic on Israel. So you can see why people like her and Massey are being targeted in these kind of smear campaigns, obviously.
It's convenient for Israel, by the way, when the towers went down. And like everyone who talks about those dancing Israelis are just crazy conspiracy theorists. What would you do?
They'll sometimes say they were cheering Israelis. And to be clear, she's referencing a time where shortly after the 9/11 attacks, there was videos from some Israelis in New York City essentially cheering that, you know, this attack had happened. Apparently, the Secret Service investigated them, found nothing dubious about it. But, you know, that when you bring that up, you're automatically a total conspiracy theorist, even though that even the FBI and the U.S. government acknowledged that that incident happened and they were looked at. So that's what you got out of this.
What should Bibi Netanyahu do? Yeah, those are the kind of scenarios that run through people's minds. And add that on top of a blackmail ring, which we still are never going to see the files for, Jeffrey Epstein, and they have got DC on lock. And so you always know the marker of who's actually not beholden to them, because it's who is being attacked the hardest. And it has been insane to see over the last couple of months the attacks that are being thrown at me and Tucker Carlson, Ian Carroll, and Dave Smith, who's Jewish and just like has a conscience like everybody else does. And it's like, this isn't okay. And the ADL, which has been behind a lot of this, remember they tried to fund the report, Jordan Peterson, it was funded by the ADL ultimately, the Christ is King report. People that are saying Christ is King are radical. No, we're just not controlled by the Zionist lobby and we're not going to stop saying Christ is King.
By the way, Christ is King. I'm not going to stop saying it either. I don't make it a point to say that in every video or anything. But just to defy the ADL and what they want and calling that anti-Semitic, yeah, Christ is King.
Anybody that's not controlled by Zionists are now being called radicals, and now they've moved on to pretending that we're funded by Qatar. I have told you guys 1,000 times, I am not funded by any foreign entity. Hand on the Bible. I would never, I mean, that is so absolutely ridiculous. But now people are alleging it.
Yeah, the Qatar thing is really the latest psyop that the Israel lobby and, you know, these neocons that support Israel at all costs have drummed up. The whole Qatari influence is freaking crazy. You look at the actual influence that AIPAC has and Israel has in the U.S. government. They basically have laid claim to about 500 elected officials. There's only about 35 that buck the trend of just supplying Israel with whatever it wants, whenever it wants, participating in all of Israel's wars, whenever it wants, and even a large portion of them supporting hate speech laws, but only to go after supposed anti-Semitism, which, by the way, includes a lot of just general criticism on Israel and not Jewish people. We've seen this in a few U.S. states rewriting their hate speech codes. I think both Georgia and Arizona did this recently in this regard. So, yeah, it's spiraled out of control. But thankfully, I do believe that there is, you know, a lot of dissidents now that are waking up to the fact that this whole crusade of just calling everything you don't like anti-Semitism is the same thing that when liberals called anything they didn't like racism or sexism or classism or, you know, xenophobia, anything like that. I do think people are waking up to it, and, you know, people like Candace Owens are helping out in that regard, revealing and exposing this madness. Dave Smith is, you know, Thomas Massey is talking about the influence of AIPAC. But, you know, these smear merchants won't go away, and they won't go away until, you know, the broad cross section of America wakes up, doesn't take their lunacy and just laughs at them rather than, you know, just fearing that all this will destroy their lives. And trust me, they do have a lot of power to destroy lives, but this has to go the same way as wokeness did. And honestly, it's kind of like another form of wokeness to me.
And the ADL spokesperson, Jonathan Greenblatt, was on MSNBC this morning, again naming me and Tucker Carlson. And this gets even better. Steve Bannon, they're saying. Steve Bannon is now a part of the woke right. Take a listen.
And I have a question. Is it as a Jew myself who is very involved with Reform Judaism and goes to synagogue and and is committed to Judaism, is there space to criticize Netanyahu without criticizing the other Jews? Is there a space?
She's so scared.
And I'm wondering if you can speak about that, because I think that's a real, you know, I don't know necessarily that Netanyahu has the backing of many Israelis.
He doesn't. He's controversial. He was going to go down in a fraud case prior to October 7th. He has been long despised by many Israelis, and this battle's played out in the Israeli media, just not in the U.S. media.
We see a lot of Israelis are maybe not so happy with some of how he operates. And I'm wondering if you could talk about that, because that's a real disconnect that a lot of us have.
So there's a few things to unpack here. Yeah. So first of all, I'm definitely not an expert in Israeli politics. Right. And I know that his approval numbers were quite low before and then immediately after October the 7th. Yeah. But from what I understand, Molly, they're quite high now. Israelis of both sides of the spectrum, people like Ehud Barak, who's certainly not a fan of Bibi, or Ehud Olmert, not a fan of Bibi, have said very clearly, and even the way he's doing the war in Gaza, said very clearly we needed to deal with Iran, and they're appreciating that. So I'm seeing...
Olmert is a huge critic of what he's doing in Gaza, though. I'm almost certain on that. So his approval rating's not as strong in terms of all the factions within Israel that he's talking about. But either way, the U.S. shouldn't support Israel. And by the way, yeah, of course they're going after Steve Bannon right now and calling him woke right. You know why? Because he was really critical of the recent intervention in Iran. That's why. All you have to do to be called woke right to these people is be a critic of Israel. That's it. That's the only criteria. There's nothing more, nothing less.
The Israeli public is very positive on this latest round because Iran keeps saying Israel is a cancer. Israel's a tumor. We want to destroy it. Now, that being said, there is a lot of space to criticize policies of the Israeli government, the way they're prosecuting the war in Gaza, the way the prime minister has pushed for judicial reform. Like, there's lots of ways to criticize the Israeli state and not to demonize Israelis. Yeah, to take on policies of the country without delegitimizing it or questioning its existence. So, look, ADL does that. Lots of American Jews do that. But in this moment, what I'm focused on, really, are how the fringes, like the woke right,
the Tucker Carlsons, the Steve Bannons,
the Candace Owens, and the sort of radical left, the Hassan Pikers, and people like Mehdi Hassan, unfortunately, Max Blumenthal, have been fomenting anti-Semitism, blaming this war on the Jews, or the Zionists, or the neocons. And I think that kind of classic anti-Semitism, I find very troubling.
So I can't speak on Hassan or Piker, but I can, you know, just laugh at this. He named several Jews that he says are spreading anti-Semitism, and none of the people that I know in the group of people he mentioned ever say it's the Jews that caused this. Yeah, the neocons, which, by the way, include a lot of American so-called Christians, like the Cheneys and Bushes and Lindsey Grahams, those vile creatures that support all this madness too. But Max Blumenthal and Dave Smith, the far left and woke right respectively, these are just critics of Israel that see what's going on, point it out, and he can't accept that. It's absurd. This is defamation, and, you know, it's just the way things go. This is the mainstream take. They'll try to ruin your reputation and say you're guilty of anti-Semitism, even if you're Jewish.
Oh, it's so troubling. You know what's going to be troubling when people actually learn about the history of the ADL and how it was like funded, like it started from gangs that were going around threatening people. And then obviously learning that like all you have to do is call something anti-Semitism and nobody can look at what you're actually doing. Yeah, I know the history of the ADL. You guys are actually thugs is what you are. And you're smear merchants. That's you deal in smears. And so you're going after the people that you can't control. So the second that you hear the ADL come out and start naming people, you pretty much should know that you can trust the people that they are naming are not being funded by them. Like I said, all roads lead back to the ADL. So now we know why there's been this weird proliferation of the term woke right from people that are radically pro-Israel and that are infiltrating the MAGA movement and trying to tear it apart.
Well, so here's where I'll slightly disagree. You know, pro-Israeli Zionists have long been part of the MAGA movement. That movement includes a lot of people that are super pro-Israel. You know, it's Miriam Adelson, and it's basically Trump's entire cabinet. It's AIPAC. Trump-linked politicians and Trump himself have long been supported by the Israel lobby, and this isn't just some recent infiltration of very pro-Israeli Zionist in the Republican Party calling out the so-called woke right. This has long been the case. And that's been the case of U.S. politics in general, how much influence the Israel lobby has. The woke right thing is a psyop. It's designed to scare people about certain people that happen to be critics of Israel and are within the right. Again, that's the only criteria they use in calling someone woke right, have, you know, right-wing social preferences, but also happen to be critics of Israel. And that's the only criteria. Find someone that they call woke right that isn't a critical of Israel. Just find them. I dare you. You can't.
Ridiculous. It is. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And I want to say this. One of you guys sent me an email last night because I think many of you who sent other emails were so surprised by what you didn't know about World War II, because we got into, I mentioned the Havara Agreement as one thing that I was like, oh, this is something I didn't know. And somebody said, Candace, are you going to speak about the genocide of the Germans, like leading up to that, World War I, World War II? Yeah, I've spoken about that. It's why there's a pretty high bounty on my head, but I'm happy to speak about it again.
Yeah, so I think Candace was generally very correct in this video, talking about the defamation tactics of the ADL, the Israel lobby, and everything linked into all this mess culturally. You know, they say that there's a woke right out there. It's critics of Israel. That's all they mean by that, critics of Israel on the right. But ironically, what is more woke? Pointing that out and using anti-Semitism as a bludgeon against any form of criticism over the Israeli state? It just seems a lot to me like when liberals, you know, used racism or sexism as a bludgeon against any facts about sex or genetics, or, you know, say it's, you know, sexist if you say men can't get pregnant, and using sexism as a bludgeon against that. This is a woke tactic. And that's what's so ironic about this. There is a woke right, and it's those that use anti-Semitism as a bludgeon against any genuine and earnest criticism of Israel. That's the true woke right. But I digress. Here's what we're dealing with. The Israel lobby and the ADL are going to continue to have political power until Americans stand up and resist it. It's going to take regular Americans. Dissidents already know this. You know, I bet a lot of them are watching this. They know, they go throughout their lives and laugh at this stuff, you know, point out the idiocy it is, and aren't that afraid of it. Some people have jobs where they have to be a little bit afraid of it, or if they're at their work at that point, they have to, you know, be very conscious about these things, and I can't blame them. I don't blame them at all. That's, you know, a societal fact that we just have to deal with, I suppose. But until Americans stand up by and large and see this stuff for what it is, it's stupid smearing, and hopefully those words go the way of sexist and racist accusations after everything, and we don't have to deal with this anymore. Maybe people are waking up more and more. We'll see, but I thank Candace for covering this. Subscribe to her channel. She's great, too, especially on Israel and Israeli aid and U.S. intervention on behalf of Israel. She's so good on those issues. I really appreciate her in that space. And please like my video and subscribe to my channel. Let me know in a comment below, do you agree with Candace Owens? What can be done to sideswipe the power of the ADL and the Israel lobby? I want to hear your suggestions on that one. And please consider becoming a YouTube member or Patreon patron to support my channel. I'd really appreciate it. And until I see you guys next time, no more war, no more debt, no more inflation, and no more empire. Peace out, guys. I'll catch you in the next one.